So that was scheduled meeting of the Public Facilities Committee Wednesday, June 5th, 2013. Here at the start of the meeting is Alderman Crosby, Alderman Toledo, Alderman Albright, Alderman Lennon, Alderman Danberg, and myself, Alderman Salvucci, and our committee clerk, Shawna Sullivan. First item is a public hearing, 190-13 HPC Wireless petition for a grant allocation to install 4-inch fiber optic cable duct bank in Webster Street from an existing pole to the Massachusetts Turnpike property. Are you here for this, sir?
I am.
Are you going to represent?
I am.
Would you please come up and join us at the table? Give us your name and address and so forth. You're new to this business, right?
I've never been to Alderman's meeting. I've been to zoning and planning and...
This is very different.
I've been to some ugly hearings. I'm Rich Pesciuto. I'm from Plainville, Massachusetts. I represent HPC Wireless, in this case, Calcatel Lucent and Sprint. There's a cell tower owned on Mass Dot property on Webster Street. The nearest pole is at the corner, and the proposal is to install, I think we originally installed proposed a 4-inch. I think the city wants us to install 2. I'll have to confirm that with the city. But 2 4-inch lines from an existing telephone pole down Webster Street to the compound owned by MassDOT to install, to have Comcast install fiber optic lines in the roadway.
What is the purpose for this?
The cell site that's on the property needs a higher capacity line to provide cell coverage and service. So typically a cell tower is serviced by a T1, it's a large trunk line from a telephone company. The current designs are all going to go to fiber optic, which allows you to have a much greater capacity of throughput to the tower.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way this reads is pole to the Massachusetts Turnpike property.
Correct.
Is that where the tower is?
Correct.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
now.
It's a big ladder tower in the back.
Yeah. Well, I see. Okay.
And I think there's a current project going on with the city, and we're trying to work with your timeline with another piece of road work that's getting done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to repair what.
Yeah, just a quick question. HPC Wireless. Is this a company that installs, or
no,
do you...
We do install.
What does your company do for a living?
To give you that overall breakdown, Sprint, who's a cell phone company, has installations all out through cities in Massachusetts, and they come up with a new design to increase capacity or a new piece of technology. Right now, it's capacity that's an issue. TRB has a cell phone pretty much on their body.
Yeah.
A lot of cell phones now, the last thing you use it for is to call anybody. All your apps, all your maps, all your GPS, all that equipment requires a greater degree of capacity from every cell phone. So Sprint has this installation. They hire Alcatel Lucent. Alcatel Lucent hires HPC. I've gotten the building permit for the site. I've gotten the state's approval for the site. The last was a grant allocation from the city to install the line in the road.
Okay. There is an area in Waubun near Cold Spring Park. Starting at around Cold Spring Park and going maybe a half a mile, where there's a dead zone. Everybody that drives along there drops calls. Is this going to help that dead zone or any of the dead zones in the city?
I don't think this is going to apply to that zone. I know that we got a building permit to upgrade a rooftop in Waubun. I don't know the address off the top of my head. It was one of mine, the permit. Mm-hmm. And that was going to increase capacity there, so that might address the site.
Okay.
I think we have 11 sites in the city. Sprint has 11 sites in the city using one meeting city hall.
Where is that rooftop in Waubun, do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head. I can get that address for you.
Okay. But you are aware that there's a dead zone there?
Yeah. Sprint is on the whole aware of majority of their problems.
Okay.
And based on customer complaints.
Okay.
So are you replacing line that's already there, or is this new?
There's a new line. Right now there's a line to the existing pole at the corner. We're going to come down that telephone pole into an interduct and run underneath.
This is brand new service?
Brand new service. Well, no, it's a brand new underlying service. Right now I think it's a T1 line that goes overhead to the
side. That's on the pole.
Correct.
So you're going to take it off the pole?
We're going to take it off the pole from the corner and run it from the corner down Webster to the site.
So undergrounding.
Yeah.
Now, you are aware of the fact that they're going to repair Webster Street?
I think actually we're kind of...
We don't want you to dig it up after it's repaired.
That's why we're here, trying to get all of our stuff done so that we're ahead of the Webster Street schedule. We've dealt with
okay, let me open it. You all done?
I just want to ask one more question.
Go ahead.
So, why are you taking it off the pole? Because the higher capacity lines can't go on the poles?
Because that's the last place that Comcast has a location. So Comcast comes around the main leg of the road, and then from the main leg of the road, all you have is Verizon going from the pole to the compound. Comcast doesn't have that right away, so Comcast needs to put it in. So I do the work to allow Comcast to provide my client service, my client being Sprint.
Okay. So the other lines are still going to stay on the pole?
The other lines stay on the pole.
Pity. Okay.
I'm going to open the public hearing. Is that for you, John? You want to give us a little something on this?
We're in support of it. We'd like to see it go in as soon as possible so it does not hold up our pavements.
When do they plan on doing Webster Street, do you know?
It's definitely this season. We don't have a specific date yet. We're going to have a pre-construction meeting with the toll planner next week, next Wednesday. We'd have a better idea on this.
Let's just make sure these guys do it now before we do it. All right, of course it requires a permit. Yes. Wait a minute. I guess that's all for the public hearing. I'm closing the public hearing. Go ahead.
I was going to move approval because it's in your ward.
Fine, go ahead.
I move approval. Well,
I guess it is ward 3.
It's ward 3.
Just at the end before
ward 4. That's right here. Right.
Okay, any more questions? All in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's it.
Thank you very much.
Do you know when that while in work is going to happen?
I don't. I can get that schedule. I'll get the address and schedule and get over to
it. Like, yes, thank you. Appreciate that.
Okay.
I use AT&T.
I go through Indiana. I tell them we have 45
minutes. Yeah, that's all right. I get calls about, because it's Ward 6, Cold Spring.
You called my clock, so.
Next item. Yeah. Is that all you have?
I have.
Oh, I was going to say you're welcome to see it.
I'm so glad I never met
you. I got an email today asking me.
Okay, here we go. 211-13. Is out of the mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend the sum of $275,000 from bonded indebtedness to fund accessibility improvements at the Lower Falls Community Center. Josh, please, tell me what $275,000 is for.
Well, I can tell
you. There's no backup for this at all.
I can tell you where I can buy. I have it all. I can show you the entire presentation. It's up to you.
Yeah, you got 5 minutes.
I'll explain it to you. All right, so the Lower Falls Community Center was, we've done a number of projects over there, specifically around the envelope and energy efficiency. This is the last part of that project to make the building accessible, not only because we need to, but also because it's one of the heaviest, if not the heaviest used parks and rec building in the city. That said, there's a couple major parts of this project. The bathrooms are the biggest portion. The existing bathrooms are completely non-compliant from an accessibility standpoint. Not to mention they're also in pretty poor condition, so this will address both of those. The other big part of this is getting from the main floor down to the gym. Currently the only means to get from the main building to the gym is down a set of stairs. So we will be installing a chairlift, or a vertical lift rather, that will carry people from the main floor down to the gym. Those are the two big parts of this. Then there's a number of smaller things that go into it. Obviously with the bathrooms, there's a lot of plumbing and electrical work as part of that. There's electrical work involved with the vertical lift. Some demolition and reconstruction as part of the vertical lift. Demolition construction as part of the bathrooms. There's hardware replacement throughout. All of the handles need to go to lever sets like we've done here at City Hall. There needs to be an accessible bubbler that's installed, water fountain. That would be part of this project just outside the bathrooms. And then the last portion really is accessible signage. both inside and outside the building. And there's some smaller things like thresholds and some minor things throughout the building to make sure that we're compliant. We estimated the project at $275,000 for construction. We had three bids come in. The total was $263,164. We're carrying a 4.3% contingency, which is $11,836, which puts us right at our budget. It was a very tight spread, so I think the plans, the drawings are very solid. The difference, surprisingly, between the first and second bidder was less than $300. Hmm. So it was a very solid plans. And in fact, if we hadn't picked the alternate, it was less than $100 difference between the two. So somebody was very upset that day.
Hmm. Scott?
The question I had, Josh, was full finance. Mm-hmm. Could you have in the package just a breakdown of the items you talked about and the associated costs?
Sure.
It's not an Oz. But at least that way, this committee will be able to see that breakdown.
Sure.
If it's in the finance, discussed in finance in another packet.
So they don't break that out until we award the contract. We don't get the scheduled values, but I can give you the ballpark, you know, kind of what I just talked about.
Even if you put it together for
sure,
us,
yeah.
So this committee can understand what we're doing,
yeah.
The associated cost to come out to the 275.
So definitely.
As Chen said, it's not in there.
Okay.
I know you have it, but we're just sure we can
no
see.
No background there. Deb, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm glad Scott asked for that. And I remember why we're doing this. I remember that it was triggered by the amount of work that we did on the building. And it's not a bad thing because it's a voting place and so forth, and we're getting this work done. But it would be handy to see the plans that identify the different pieces of work that you're doing, because you know there's the lift in the one place, and I remember it had to get cut into an office area,
yep.
And there's the bathroom issue and how that's going to work and so forth. And mm-hmm. A little bit unusual to, I mean, I'm happy to support this because
yeah.
I know what it is, and I'm really glad that you're coming in right at your budget numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be good to be able to just get a quick visual on.
And I do have that all. If we want to go through it, I'm happy to. I was prepared for that. I have the electronic copies of all of the plans.
A floor plan that shows what we're talking about. I don't know if other folks want to see that. Or
Sure.
Got it. Go ahead. Sure. I didn't know you had it.
That way we'll have a meeting in the last 15 minutes.
I still think that it should be in the packet.
Yeah.
Because other members of the board can see it.
Well, and people who surf the packets might be interested in stuff like that. Like our friend Bill Renke, who serves the packet.
Who went to elementary school at this location.
Oh, there you go.
It's not like
you're taking my principal's private bathroom and turning it
around. No, they didn't give it to me. I was provided it again.
What was the name of that school?
Amazon.
Oh, that was the Amazon school.
35 years close,
huh.
So, you know.
It's
a while ago.
You know, you're on my bed, so.
And I'm off the pre-teach.
We'll talk about this later.
So isn't that where also Brian went?
Oh.
Can you go to that school?
All good stuff.
Oh, you went to Amherst? Yeah,
yes, Brian was
telling me to go to Amherst.
Really?
Well.
What was that? What I'm saying.
But I would
know. Where is
you were talking.
Yes.
The residents of LaSalle Village will appreciate.
Where was Amherst? Which
Upper Falls.
Upper Falls, I
think.
On what Amherst is Upper Falls.
What street is that?
I had a question for... is this building considered done now, or is there more still to do?
After this, is everything. I mean, there's some, like, I know that they're talking about the gym floor, there's some lighting stuff, but nothing capital related, it would all be.
Right. The lighting stuff is with the preferred vendor program.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. If, I mean, it may get addressed before then, depending on...
why wasn't this work done when we did the other work here?
It was because it was triggered by the other work. It was not designed already. Not to mention that the other work is kind of be two totally
different
projects.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is a code explanation, which is that, and I think we weren't aware of it coming into it. If you do a certain amount of work within a period of 3 years.
Yeah.
And we work within that period of 3 years.
It triggers.
And it used to be that you could do repair work, and that didn't count, which is essentially what we did on this building. but that changed.
I mean, it's all good stuff. I'm just,
it is all good
stuff. You know, but it's useful to know why.
This is the Lower Falls Community Center, otherwise known as the former Hamilton School. This is where we did our deep energy rudder. Yeah, we did we did all the energy-related work, the roof and the boiler and the walls and windows, but we didn't do the accessibility.
It's online, too.
I can give it to you.
Is it online on your building project?
That's what we complained about. We had to do accessibility improvements as well.
All right, so the picture here, if you're looking at, this is the overhead view, parking lot size over here, field is on this side. This is the gym. Your main entrance is here. I won't take you through the entire demolition of the project, but I'll highlight the key areas. If you come in the main entrance and you take a left, the bathroom facilities are here. These are all going to get renovated to make it compliant with current accessibility codes. The water bubbler is going to be located just outside this. That's a high-low. Currently, it's one of those porcelain style where you have to kind of crouch and stick your head in. So that will be beneficial both from accessibility as well as just kind of general use. The existing stairs are right here to go down into the gym. What we're doing is we're cutting into this office area. This was worked out with both Bob Garubas as well as the existing staff in this location. The vertical lift is going to be located right here. So this is going to be the area that's impacted, relatively underutilized at this point.
Yeah.
So it actually worked out very well. This is actually kind of a small meeting space. It used to be an office, but they don't really use it because they have the other rooms that they use for meetings. And this is the only active office in this area, so it actually worked out really well. And this will, you got egress directly into the gym area. This bathroom is the staff bathroom. It's also going to get some minor upgrades to make sure that that's compliant. And then there's a small bathroom in the kind of classroom. I don't know. Not sure the exact programming, but there's some minor improvements that need to be made there because that's a relatively new bathroom. And then, as I mentioned, a bunch of hardware and signage that are kind of scattered throughout the building.
That's a lot of work for $275,000, yeah. Actually. Yeah. You got a good...
The low bidder on this is Barbado Construction. They've done a lot of work in the city. They like working with us. They're used to the, they've developed relationships and getting, plans done, that kind of stuff. So what we see is that when we develop good relationships with the local contractors that... They tend to become frequent flyers, and they tend to drop their prices to try to stay in the city.
So this is from a pre-qualified list of contractors?
It wasn't. No, we put it out for general bid, but on our of the two, we've worked with both of them. It was Barbado Construction and Siever, which was on this project to begin with. They're the ones that lost out by $100. But Barbado does a lot of work with us, too. So
can you still access the doors, the office by the lift? Can you still get access?
Oh, certainly, yep. This area here will become the hallway, so you'll be able to come around and maintain your flow of traffic through there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the lift. How many square feet? How big is that lift on the inside?
The inside square footage is about 4x4. I can give the exact dimensions.
And so it would be big enough, let's say, to put one wheelchair in?
Correct, yeah.
And that's to code?
Yes, it is.
How much did that lift, is that lift being installed, you're carving out the space and creating the shaft and putting the lift in, what's the cost of the installation of that? And is it a two-floor lift?
No, that's just it. This is very small. I would say it's maybe 48 inches, 52 inches, something like that.
So it just goes up to another lift.
From the gym floor to the first floor.
I see.
Yeah,
so I mean... If you're trying to compare it to elevators or other lifts, it doesn't really stack up. If you're asking me to put a price tag on this total all-in install, I would say you're probably $40,000 to $50,000.
Okay.
It's a pretty good chunk of the project.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions?
Oh, good.
The motion's
Ward 4.
Money's out.
Move to. Okay. I'll move to improve. Move to improve.
All in favor? 6. Very good, Josh. Thank you.
I'll still give the scope breakdown because it does. It's a little easier for folks that don't want to read through the plans.
Just because the rest of the board will be able to see it.
Yeah, it makes it a little easier.
Okay, let's see what's next.
Thanks.
212-13 is out of the mayor requesting authorization for transfer to sum of $65,000 from the public buildings department full-time salaries account and appropriate the sum of $35,000 from free cash to fund the purchase of vehicles for the public building department. I guess that's you too, Josh.
That's me. No letter. All right, so The request here is to replace a number of vehicles that we've had removed from our fleet. Right now, we currently have we have none. They're just for union for the union staff, our trades guys that are out there in the field. So all our passenger vehicles have been pulled off the road. I'll just give you an example. There was a list here, but the 716 Ford Taurus had 136,700 miles. The back frame was rotted out. The exhaust system was shot, and the entire thing needed to be replaced. The struts were all snapped, and the springs were gone. So they pulled that one off the road.
I was gonna say, how much is that for?
Why did they pull it off?
Somebody have a second house on an island somewhere?
That's another, yeah. That's
I drove that car. That was the one that I drove.
You're out of your mind to drive that car.
Yeah, I pushed it through the intersection of Route 9. That was a good one.
That's not a good use of your time.
No. What
year was that car?
That was a 2000.
2000.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, that's not that old.
We got that as a hand-me-down, actually, from DPW. So I'm not sure the previous use for that. I think we put on another
20,000, 25,000 miles. 136,000
miles. A lot of miles.
136?
Yeah. What kind of
car? Wow. That was a Ford Taurus.
I mean, for foreign cars, that's not much. That's,
yeah. We're not talking about...
I know.
We're talking about
yeah, but it's salt on the roads. Yeah.
And it was a chaser before yeah. this. I don't know. I do know that.
Oh, they, so it was a chaser loaded with salt.
Yeah, it rusted out bad.
Yeah.
And that was actually one of the better cars that that they got rid of. The 2004 F-150 pickup was completely rusted out. They, I believe, so the story goes, they put on lift, they went to raise the lift, and the trunk stayed still.
Oh, my God.
great equipment we got.
So we're requesting...
You like this for color.
What are we buying, Josh?
So what we're buying is it all needs to conform to the new Green Communities Act. So there's different miles per gallon that we have to meet depending on the type of vehicle. Our vans will stick with the same vans as high efficiency as we can get, with the understanding that those are excluded. Just and the real limiting factor is the payload capacity that we need to maintain. I'd love to go to like a Ford Transit or something like that, but the problem is the payload capacity. It's nowhere near what it needs to be to maintain all the stock for plumbers, electricians, carpenters. The pickup truck we're actually going to go to that's the highlight of this one is we're going to go to a natural gas pickup truck.
Wow.
Yeah, we've run the numbers on this to take a look at it, it's definitely starting to look favorable. There is only one location to gas up. It's over on 128. But when we looked at it, a tank of natural gas will cover you for about 180 to 200 miles, which is pretty good, not too bad. Especially for the kind of traveling that we do, there's little to no maintenance because you don't have the fuel system that you have with gas. The cost, obviously, I would hope it's obviously at this point. Most people know natural gas is less than gasoline and oil is less than half of what gasoline is right now. And then from an emission standpoint, it's 90 to 97%. Less nitrogen oxide, 35 to 60% compared to gasoline. Overall emissions, 50 to 75% reduction for inner city travel. What I want to say is, because I know that where this might go is, well, how come we're not looking at this for everything else? And the answer is, we are. We did this actually back when I was in the Navy. We looked at natural gas vehicles, and it all depends on what you have or what you're going to use it for, rather. For those vehicles that are really heavy use that you may not be able to get 10, 12, 15 years out of, it's not the right answer. It's for those vehicles that you can get longer lifespans and longer miles out of because you get your ROI, your return on investment looks better. It's only going to get better as things move forward with natural gas as low as it is right now, and then just recently they announced that they're going to start exporting natural gas because they can't store it anymore here. The long-term outlook for natural gas is that it's going to remain very low. And gasoline, on the other hand, is still projected to continue to climb. So the cost differential is going to continue to get better as demand increases out there. Right now, it's approximately $2,000 to $4,000 more for a natural gas versus a standard gasoline vehicle. And it depends on the model. There's a lot of variables there. But that's basically the range out there. I read a number of reports from Consumer Reports. Looks good. So.
Yeah. question?
Oh, yeah, thanks. So, Josh, could you give us a snapshot of the number of vehicles and uses that you need for the buildings department?
Well, so our craftsmen, we have 13 craftsmen. We try to maintain 13 vans for all the craftsmen. At this point, we have that many. The vans, though, in question, we were told on both of those that from Ron over at DPW that we needed to plan to take those off the road because they're between mileage and condition. We need to pull them off.
All of them?
No, just two.
Two. Okay.
Yeah, so that's why we came in for the two vans. The other commuter vehicles, like I said, have over the past year been pulled off, and we're asking to replace two of those.
How many of those are there?
Well, there's none now. I think we've lost three. We're asking for two back. So what we're going to start doing is, well, we've adapted.
We're adding to the fleet.
We lost three. We're adding two back. So ultimately, it's a net reduction to
the
fleet.
When did we lose three?
What's that?
When did we
lose? Over the past year, rather.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, all these vehicles that were listed on the backup sheet were all over the past year.
Okay.
Scott?
The question, Josh, was the $65,000 from the full-time salaries account. Mm-hmm. So is that from the savings of commissioner's position? How do we have $65,000 in the salaries account?
It took a little time to fill the project manager positions. Yes, the building commissioner position. And then the last thing is that we've had a couple guys out on comp that are now back, but they were out for a portion of this year, so that's where they're picking up the surplus. And the project manager positions are filled. Paul Ferralito started today.
He did start today.
He did.
Josh, of those 13 vans, do those vans go home at night with the people who drive them?
With all employees that started after last summer or the summer before, I can double check, but no. For all employees prior to that, yes, it was considered something that we would have to negotiate.
So that's part of their contract that the van goes home with them?
Correct.
At night.
But okay. These new vans, I control who they go to, and they will be going to people that do not drive home.
Okay.
Because I want them to last as long as possible.
And of all the other vehicles, are there any other vehicles that go home with people other than, of course, the head of DPW, et cetera? Do we have any other vehicles?
None in our department.
Where do they get stored overnight?
Over 52 Elliott Street. We have a yard right there that we maintain in the parking lot.
Okay. And just a comment. A few days ago, I read an article someplace that said that the city of Los Angeles has converted all of its city buses to natural gas.
That's correct. Read that today. Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, had you not said that we ought to be looking at or that we are looking at, I think we'd like to get a report on that as soon as you can give it to us, because it's an exciting possibility. They keep finding natural gas and, of course, fracking to get it, but...
Yeah, it's a little bittersweet there, but
yeah,
and each one's different. The problem is that most of these vehicles aren't coming stock from the manufacturer with using natural gas, with the exception of a couple small commuter vehicles. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them are retrofit kits, but the manufacturers are starting to catch on to the fact that in order to stay competitive, they need to retrofit and then supply it with a manufacturer warranty, which is what we would be doing here.
Yeah, and if we went to more of these vehicles that are natural gas, Would the city create its own gas station?
I can't guarantee, but I would assume that if we're going to have a large enough fleet, 128 works well for us because we're right over there on Elliott Street. It's really close.
So,
but if we did have a fleet-wide program, I think that would have to be part of that.
Yeah.
And it would be, I was going to say, it might be good to take a look at what the options are from a private and commercial as part of this. I'm just trying to think outside the box.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Well, I guess just on that point, it's interesting, and I can't say I can get my head around it quite, how you store and deliver natural gas to a vehicle. It's not a liquid.
Compressed.
Right.
It's a liquid. They maintain it compressed.
They maintain it compressed, so it becomes out of...
I'm trying to remember the actual verbiage in that.
You pump it?
It is pumped.
It is pumped.
I'll double check.
Well, I mean, it's a fluid, but is it liquid or is it
gas? It's compressed, and now that you mention it, I remember seeing that it was compressed natural gas, and I thought liquid, but let me...
Isn't it compressed and then become a liquid? That would happen?
Well, it's like when you get a, you know, a thing of it, it's
right,
compressed.
But that's under pressure.
Right. Well, it's compressed.
This would be under pressure as well.
So under pressure must, I don't know, maybe...
You've got a regulator on it.
The hose or something is something
It would have a regulator on it, like a scuba gear.
It sounds like something you'd have to be trained to...
To play with.
To touch.
And that's part of it. Ron Mahan has been part of this conversation, so he's aware of it. And he actually has experience with it, because I think they tried it
That's good to know.
In the 80s, I believe. So he does know the system. The economics just weren't there back then. So.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much.
I'm ready to move it if no one else.
Go ahead, move it.
I move it.
Any more questions? All in favor? 6. Very good. Thank you, Josh. That takes care of our evening.
We moved the Anger project.
Oh, yeah. Hold it.
Bruins won 10-0.
Yeah, but it'll be really exciting just to watch and see how they did it.
They're only in the first period. You don't know who scored the goal.
Yeah, and they're only in the first period.
Peter Bullock,
more.
We have a goal to the injury.
I
just have a quick question before everybody leaves.
Yeah.
How did everybody feel that the meeting went the other night?
I thought it was a really good thing to do to bring the board up early in the process.
Yeah.
And, you know,